financing to well-qualified buyers on select vehicles with deferred payments for 3 months. Hyundai Assurance, because making things better for your family is our first priority.
Who did you dislike more, Carlos Gomez or Nick Swisher?
Oh my God, Nick, nobody can compare that with Nick Swisher. I hate Nick Swisher with my heart.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You want to get into that a little more or no?
No, not really, but I think he hit me back. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't.
You guys just didn't get along. Didn't work out.
No, I know. I never talked to him. I was managing him, but I don't like the way his attitude was all fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake people.
All right. So he was only in with the White Sox for 1 year and then he moved on.
It was 1 year too long.
Okay. Why don't we talk about
that? Well, you know what? If you ask the players who was playing with him that year and they'd be honest like I was, yeah, they might feel the same way I feel.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hate him as a person because I don't care, but the way it was, the White Sox way, it wasn't
a good fit. His personality wasn't a good fit with the 08 White Sox.
I don't think it was. I think he's a good player, yes.
Yeah.
I used him the wrong way, yes.
You used him the wrong way.
I play him center field and batting first, second. That guy got to be right field batting 10. The way he did it with the Yankees. You know, he take the heat away, played good for New York, yeah, championship.
They did. All right.
I hate him as a person. I don't hate him as a player.
Right.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Okay, so we're dealing with... Danny just sent me a message on our chat. Strangest way I've ever produced a show. I've been doing this a long time, man. And this is the strangest way I've ever hosted a show. Where I wake up and all of a sudden it's, whoa, what is going on? And glued to the TV and then working from home with an iPad and iPhone so you could see my house, my laptop, my regular computer and the control board. And I'm trying to juggle it all. And Danny always says, dude, stay focused. I have no choice but to be focused. Holy smokes. But it's a challenge, and I'm just begging you all, please, stay safe and stay healthy, okay? Just, we're in a bad place right now, folks. Howard Griffith is my friend. He is a 2-time Super Bowl winner. He is a guy who I remember. Howard, I remember when I was a little kid watching you get 7 touchdowns for the University of Illinois in 1 game.
A little kid, listen to you, Cap. Come on, man. Come on now. How you doing, my buddy?
I am hanging in there, and just we're talking sports, which seems normal, but I know what's outside the door, which doesn't seem normal. You have a son that plays college football at Notre Dame. Before I ask you about the Big Ten and everything else, what do you tell your son as he goes through all of this?
Stay focused. Follow the protocol, do all the things that you're supposed to do, make sure you're holding your teammates accountable. But at the end of the day, you know, they can do everything that they want, but they're still not in control. And, you know, COVID-19 is in control. And then, you know, the presidents of these universities, they, I don't believe, want to be in a situation where they have to accept responsibility for, you know, some of these young people getting sick. Because we know it's going to happen, so it's a tough situation, Cap. But you know, it's one of those things that you know they're going to have to be able to deal with. We're all going to have to be able to deal with it.
Do you personally believe that we will have football? Because there's been multiple reports this morning saying that the SEC is trying to rally other conferences to play, but the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC are leaning toward announcing maybe as quickly as tomorrow. We're not having a fall football season.
I don't think so, Cap. I just think it's too difficult. You know, I know the universities are doing everything that they possibly can do to try to keep young people safe, but it's a mounting task. And I go back to, you know, the liability standpoint. It's a very difficult situation. I know the players and the coaches want to play because that's the way they're conditioned. That's the way they're thinking. But there's also another aspect of this is, you know, you have to look out for the young people. You absolutely have to. So in my mind, the shift needs to happen for these young folks to start asking questions about what does my eligibility look like? Am I getting another year? If we play in the spring, what does that look like? What happens if I opt out? Those are the questions that I think our young people have to start asking and that they deserve answers for. And, you know, they have to find a way to get the answers. I mean, right now they have no voice. You look at what's going on in professional athletics, you know, they have unions, they have a voice. You look at youth level sports, you know, that's more of a family decision. But you look at college athletics and right now they do not have a voice, and it's never been more evident than what we're watching happen right now in college sports.
Howard Griffith, my guest here on ESPN 1000 from the Big Ten Network. He was a college star at Illinois with the Denver Broncos and has a son playing high-level Division I football. If your son's team says, we're able to cobble together a schedule and we're going to play, you know, these 10 opponents, are you telling him, I support you going to do that? Is it totally his decision? How much input does your wife have? How do you handle that as a parent?
We're trying to maneuver that right now, Cap. You know, it's you know, as a parent, you can be thinking one particular way because you're looking at the best interest for your loved one, and they are thinking totally different. So that's a tough conversation, you know, that quite frankly are going to start to be had, you know, probably today moving forward, because now I think for a lot of young folks, the reality of there may not be a football season is clearly in the front window, where before they were in voluntary workouts, they were still training. They were in a quote-unquote bubble themselves, but now the student population is coming back to campus, and what does that look like, and, you know, are they going to make sure that they're following the protocol? So the reality is that, you know, a lot of these young folks are scared, concerned, and parents are too, but you know, we have to sit down, we have to talk through it and try to make sure, you know, that the best decisions are made, because nobody really wants to waste a year of eligibility if they only are able to play three or four games. So Howard, there are a lot, you know, there's so many questions, Cap, that come up that I think this is going to be a work in progress, and we're going to see this unfold probably in the next 72 hours.
So there's been a lot of talk here about Mitchell Trubisky versus Nick Foles. I mean, I literally could do 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and have full phone lines. What do you think of Mitch? What do you think of Nick Foles? Probably 80% would go, Nick Foles should be the starter because they traded for him. I'm saying, pump the brakes. Mitch seems like he may be able to take the next step. But all that's irrelevant if we don't play football. Eddie Goldman opted out. Josh Lucas opted out. If Howard Griffith, star player, Denver Broncos, and the Bears think they can win the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you, they truly believe with that defense they can win the Super Bowl. If you were on this team with Super Bowl aspirations, would Howard Griffith play or opt out?
Well, do I have Super Bowl rings yet? Or at what point, what stage in my career?
No, you're Eddie Jackson, you're Khalil Mack, you're Akeem Hicks. You've never won one.
Man, Cap, it's a tough decision, and it's one that I know we try to have a discussion. You try to put yourself in that position, and I think it's difficult. I do. I think you have to look at what your family situation is. You know, do you have pre-existing conditions? Because we know that, you know, there are several athletes that have played and going to continue to play professional sports that have pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
So what does that look like? And to be honest, Cap, I don't know that I could give you an answer, but I don't know if it would be accurate. I really don't. I mean, because it's easy for me to say, yeah, I'll play. I mean, look at the contract. Look at what you have an opportunity to accomplish. But also, the family situation is going to be huge. We don't know, Cap, and that's what's so hard and frustrating about it all. You can say, I want to play today, The governor could shut everything down tomorrow.
Yep.
The mayor could shut everything down tomorrow. I mean, there are so many other things, that other influences that are going to be a part of the decision-making process, that this is going to be an up-and-down year. It's already been. 2020 has been crazy. But I think from a professional side, the teams that are able to pivot, be able to maneuver, be able to work through a lot of this, and I'm talking about professional teams now, are the ones that, you know, are going to be able to have some success.
Would you have a problem if they came to you, you're a star player, you're making whatever amount of money it is that you make, and they said, guess what, we're going to go into a bubble. You are not going to be around your family for the football season. I asked Ozzie Guillen and Tim Anderson from the Sox that question. Ozzie said, done. Tim Anderson, already had that discussion with my wife and kids. Yes, I'm trying to feed my family the rest of our lives. Yes, I would go in the bubble. Other guys have said, no, I'm not going to do that. What would you do?
I would go in the bubble. I would. I mean, because in my mind, even right now with our son, I don't want to be around him.
Right.
Right? Because I don't know what I could be bringing into their little bubble or their in their situation right now. So I don't necessarily want us to be around him. So I understand the importance, and I know it's difficult. It really is. But again, those that are able to be nimble, be able to make adjustments, be able to, you know, not have some of the issues that are gonna come up, are gonna be the ones that if there's gonna be anything, if you could say it can be successful, those are the ones that can stay focused and be dedicated to what they're trying to do. And I'm not saying that somebody is saying that they don't want to be there is a bad person or anything's wrong with that, because there absolutely isn't. It goes back to my earlier answer, when we don't know what else is going on in that family. There could be a mother or a father that is living with them. There could be so many different things that could come up from a player's perspective in their own little world, that they have to be given that respect and at least the benefit of the doubt that they're making the right decision for themselves, because that's what it comes down to. These are going to be individual decisions that all these players are going to make, including those star players that, if there isn't a football season, decide that they're going to go to the National Football League and they're going to forego and not do anything in the spring and really get ready for the draft. So this is going to be a lot of personal decisions, individual decisions that have to be made.
Yeah, when Eddie Goldman says, I'm opting out, all the respect in the world to you. If you've got someone at home that you feel like, I can't do this, everyone should support whatever decision each person makes. Please, best to your son. He's a heck of a football player, but knowing you as his dad, he's an even better person, because you're awesome.
Well, thanks a lot, Cap. I appreciate it, man. Stay safe.
Stay safe and healthy, my man. There he is, Howard Griffith from the Big 10 Network, and he was an amazing football player at the University of Illinois, and I used to work with him on radio and TV back in the day. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Danny Zetterman, the executive producer of this show, is also producing this show from his house. I'm at home because of what went on overnight in our city. Danny's going to join me next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. I normally say with Danny and Chris, it's just me and JR hanging out. Danny producing from home. 312-332-3776. Watch us on twitch.tv or download the Twitch app. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago, powered by Miller Lite and the Howard Street Inn. And go to ESPNFFC.com if you want to be part of our fantasy football convention virtually and keep you safe. Anyway, Danny Zetterman said to me the other day, hey, why don't you come out and watch my son play in his final Little League game of the season. Danny's one of the coaches. And so he never believed I was going to show up. I saw people tweeting at him, shot or no shot, he showed up. Absolutely, I showed up. Danny, how are you, buddy?
What up, Cappy? How you feeling today? You're doing a great job this morning. Thank you for kind of taking all of Chicago's mind off of what's going on in the city right now, talking some sports. I appreciated how you were talking to Howard Griffith about college football, and somehow Mitchell Trubisky conversation weaved its way in. Yeah, only you could do that, my good man.
Only. So, anyway, I came out there to watch the Little League game on Saturday. I got there early, so I saw the end of Dan Wiederer's team's game there, a year older than you, I believe, or 2 years
Correct.
Older.
That's and, right. His son's 1 year older than mine.
Okay, and so I saw him, and then you showed up. You're the assistant coach, and I'm watching your son get a base hit. Dude, it was a lot of fun just come out there, but it made me sad that my kids are all past all that now.
I know. I deal with that all the time. Like, I constantly am thinking of that famous quote, you know, don't be sad that it's over, be happy that it happened.
Yes.
But as I was driving to the ballpark on Saturday morning for the last time this summer, realizing, all right, this baseball season's over, there's only so many that I'm going to get to be so hands-on with my son until, you know, hopefully he gets better and better and at higher levels, and then I'll just be sitting in the stands watching him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to enjoy every moment, and I kind of am always cognizant of the fact that these moments are fleeting, and you got to enjoy them while they're here. I will say, I didn't think you were going to show up. You texted me and asked me what field we were at, and the second I parked the car, I saw you because you're the only person there in bright, bright blue shorts, stark, beautiful white shirt, and this huge Chicago face mask. Could spot you from a mile away. Oh, there's Mr. Kaplan, Avery.
Yep, absolutely. I was just hanging out. I actually stood like a little bit down the right field line just past first base, and wasn't like a six-year-old's going to line a shot right back at me, but the kids hit the ball really well. I was really impressed. It was just a really good family feeling to be out there.
Yeah, we're really lucky. I've got the two head coaches on my son's team, John Bassler and Tony Ante Pavic. They're great working with the kids. We've had the same group of kids 2 years in a row. It's just nice that we were actually able to have a baseball season this year. You know, when the COVID pandemic hit, they canceled the season, and then we got an email saying, all right, it might happen, but push back. And like, props to the, you know, I live in Glenview, so the Glenview Park District did it right, but all the boys are wearing masks, all the girls are wearing masks, and it really was a safe environment, and we still got to have the baseball season and get it in, which was tremendous.
Well, this is, you also sent me a message for people that may have just woken up, may have been, you know, working overnight, that may not have realized what happened. We had looting in our city. We had violence. It was just awful. And you started calling all of our attention to it. Mike Thomas, our boss, Chris Black, Randy Merka, J.R. Strauss, who was already down there, and you. And you just sent me a message that says, strangest way I've ever produced a show. And I've been doing this, because I'm older than you, longer than you. It's the strangest way I've ever hosted a show. Not the fact that I'm working from home. I've done that before. But to have no idea what was going on till 5-something in the morning and then going, oh, boy. And we just do what we do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I went to bed last night with an idea of the topics we're going to talk about today. I knew who we were going to talk to. I went to bed like on a normal Sunday night. Thank God for our friend Tracy Butler, because I woke up and I'm getting ready to come into work like always. Normally, I don't pay attention to the news. You know, I'll have ESPN on in the background listening to the radio show that's on the air, and it's just kind of background noise as I'm getting ready. And Tracy Butler texted me and said, please let me know if you're okay. I hope you're safe. And at that point, I was like, oh, boy, what's going on? So I turned on the ABC 7 News, and sure enough, I saw what was unfolding. And it was unfolding right in front of our studio. You know,
yep.
We've been going to work the whole entire pandemic. I always say the show must go on. You know, there was rioting and looting earlier in the year, and we still went to the studio. So I was anticipating nothing would stop us today. But then when I saw on ABC 7, they're reporting gunshots outside our studio and all the chaos that was happening, and our building at State and Lake was in the heart of it. I think our boss, Mike Thomas, made the right call keeping us home. But that being said, I've never produced a radio show from home. You know, we've been on the road. We've been on remotes. We've made it work. but we've been together in those times. I mean, this is odd. J.R. Strauss is in the studio because he got there so early. You're at your home in Riverwoods. I'm at my home in Glenview, and we're all working on the same show. Thank God for modern technology. I mean, we're able to send each other messages. I'm listening in real time to what you're saying. It's as interactive as we could possibly get without actually being together.
Yeah, and, you know, we can have a – we have a Microsoft Teams chat going so we can – you know, in real time, stay in touch with each other if anything breaks. And then I've got one computer with Twitter, another one with commercial. Like, just to pull the curtain back, like, you just fly by the seat of your pants and let's just go, right?
Yeah, and here's what I'll say. We like to bust your chops all the time. That's part of the fun of this show is that you laugh at us busting your chops and we bust your chops. I always bust your chops that you have ADD, but you're proving today that you don't really have it. It's just like a selective thing. Because today you are on point. You're paying attention to everything, obviously because you have to. So props to you, Cap, because you've got a lot of plates in the air with what's going on.
Well, we all do what we do. I've got you guiding the way. I got JR there. So we're in a good place. I just wanted to get you on so people understood what was going on, why you're there where you're at, why I am where I am. And if you want, you can watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I took people on a little tour of my office here. I'm going to do more of that at an upcoming break. But I hope, Danny, that we will be able to be back in our studios tomorrow morning.
I'm anticipating being back at the office. This was a nice one day to, you know, kind of a little bit of an experience for me to produce from home, but I'm not anticipating doing this very much more. I'll be back in the studio tomorrow. I will say, if you're not watching Cap on Twitch right now, you absolutely should be. Go to twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap is sleeveless. He's wearing the Bill Belichick sleeveless hoodie. His guns are showing. The tattoos are out and about. So make sure you check that out.
Absolutely. And Jesse's going to be coming up with us in just a little while. And he just texted me. I've got some stuff I've got to talk about. But I have a feeling it's not MLB related. So we'll get Jesse's thoughts on a variety of topics and get what is Major League Baseball going to do with the St. Louis Cardinals. That's the other big question because they've played like 5 games. That's it.
Yeah, as a Cub fan, I don't care about the Cardinals. What I'm worried about is our Cubs were playing so well, right? We were really, really sharp. And now all of a sudden we had this lull because the Cardinals had the COVID pandemic run through the organization and the Cubs didn't get to play. How's that going to affect the starting pitching that's been so good? How's that going to affect the bats that were coming on pretty hot recently? So that, as a Cub fan, my concern is how is what happened to the Cardinals going to affect our team's play going forward because we were rolling along?
Absolutely rolling. I don't think this short break, because they had a, you know, like a sim game at Wrigley and guys got a chance to just rest up a little bit. John Lester threw a bullpen session, so their arms should be strong, ready to go, and let's just hope that we can get baseball back, because I would hate to see baseball go away.
Yeah, I'm with you, Cap. I think that baseball's starting to get a handle on it. I mean, obviously, with what happened with the Cardinals, you can't say they're getting a handle on it, but I think they're learning from their mistakes, and as they go forward, they'll try to emulate what the Cubs are doing. I mean, you got to give the Cubs organization a lot of credit. Through all that's going on, they're still the only organization without a positive test, so they're clearly doing something right. If I was Rob Manfred, I would call Theo and Jed in my office and say, give me the blueprint. What are you doing? We need to share this with the other teams.
100%. But that's a problem, Danny, and we can get into that another time. MLB has bad, bad leadership. Players Association, not much better. It's just bad leadership, and we don't hear from the commissioner. So we've got issues, and hopefully they can move past those. Hey, man, I will be talking to you on our chat. Have a great rest of your day, okay, kid?
All right, Cappy, I'll talk to you down the line. Peace and love.
Peace and love, peace and love. There you go. America's sweetheart. No, it's not Tom Waddle. It's Danny Zetterman. 312, it's the first time anyone ever said that about him. 312-332-3776. We are going to talk to Jesse Rogers and find out what is the plan for the Cubs going forward to make up the games with the Cardinals. Is their pitching staff at all having a problem because they had to take the entire weekend off and they got another day off? That just never happens. Or nope, all good. They had the sim game and they had bullpen sessions and it's good. And they'll be ready to rock and roll when they go back to work against the Cleveland Indians tomorrow. So we'll see where it all breaks down from there. I'm just hoping we get to keep baseball going because I'm watching really amazing PGA golf this weekend, hockey, basketball, baseball. Like it was when the Hawks won on Friday night, my friend John Shipman tweeted, "That's the most normal that he's felt since all this started." And I completely agree. When they won Friday night, it was an early game. My wife and I are sitting watching the game. We're having some dinner. We're playing with the dogs. They win. I'm like, that was awesome. That was literally awesome. And then he tweeted that. It's the most normal he's felt as a sports fan. Now, crank it back up tomorrow and take on a far better and more challenging team in the Vegas Golden Knights. And that'll be a 9:30 puck drop. Don't forget our hockey show every Saturday morning with Pat Boyle and Brian Hanley. Coming up at 9, we'll already be two games into that series, so we'll see where the Blackhawks are at that point. 312-332-3776. Let's take a fast break and talk to Jesse next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sam Adams, Boston Lager, celebrating the return of sports to Chicago, and every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in Chicagoland. Today, we salute the world-famous Cubby Bear. They're excited to announce that their patio's open and a phenomenal place to watch all the games and drink some delicious ice-cold Sam Adams. They have plenty of tables available. They're proud to adhere to all social distancing protocols. And right now, you can text Sam Adams, one word, S-A-M-A-D-A-M-S, to 31996. 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Text now and stop in at Cubby Bear tonight.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
So the Cubs will get another day off. They did have a sim game. They did have guys do bullpens and workouts and all of it. Saw some great stuff on social media. Ian Happ with Quarantine Coffee raising money for charity. So love to see that. Ian Happ playing really good baseball, doing some great things in our community. So give him a follow. I believe he's iHapp1 on Twitter. And we appreciate you, Ian Happ, stepping up in the community like a lot of Chicago athletes have. I'm not just singling him out, but I saw that this morning, so I wanted to call it to everyone's attention. 312-332-3776. Watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. I'm taking people on a tour of my home office, and that is where I make connections with my friend, Jesse Rogers, our baseball insider. Jesse, good morning.
I should just drive over to your house and we could sit next to each other and do this, right?
No question about it.
We're not far from each other. But good morning, Cap. I'm glad everybody's safe. Good listening to you and Danny just then.
Yeah, it was great to talk to Danny. It's just the most bizarre way I've ever done a show because none of it was planned. Like when I quarantined, I understood. All right, I got to be home for 2 weeks because I went to California. I get it. This I didn't see coming, and it saddens me greatly. You and I both grew up. Here, and it just breaks my heart to see, you know, you turn on the national channels and go, oh my God, they're talking about our city. It's just absolutely awful. But the Cubs have not played since Thursday. Do you think this affects them at all, or because they had sim games, they're okay?
No, I do think it affects them, but mostly because of the opponent they're going to play next. What have the Cleveland Indians done on the mound? They haven't let up more than 4 runs a game. White Sox fans saw that this week, and the Sox got to 4 yesterday. It took 10 innings, and that seemed like a victory. I mean, this Cleveland team can pitch. So this Cub team was on a roll, yes. Their win streak ended with that Chatwood performance, and they didn't score a lot in that game. But I think 4 days off is not good when you're about to face a team pitching the way that the Indians are. So I do think it hurts a little bit. I do think it hurts. Now, can it help, you know, Chris Bryant had a couple bumps and bruises. Other guys, sure. It's never a bad thing talking to David Ross on the Zoom yesterday. It's never a bad thing to have a day or two off. But four in a row, not ideal. Of course, you're going to hopefully maybe make up those games, so that's going to add something later on. So, look, it takes them out of the routine. It's not anywhere near what the Cardinals have to face, Cap, but it's not a perfect situation facing a team that can pitch like the Indians.
Jesse, do you believe we're going to finish this season? And the reason I ask you that is, if you're Tom Ricketts thinking about greenlighting more spending to get a bullpen arm or two in here, if you're Theo thinking, do I give up that prospect to be able to go get that player because I think he could put us over the top because we've got a good vibe? You can't expend your bullets and then go, oh, my God, we just traded our best prospect for who, and the season got canceled.
Yeah, I mean, every executive I've talked to has said it'll be the smaller deals. It'll be those relievers that get moved. I think in a preseason survey I did, they said the executives agreed the biggest thing to get traded or biggest name would be a former, like, all-star reliever. Let's say Kimbrel was doing well or someone like that, whatever, Brad Hand. You know, those are the kind of guys that'll get traded. But you're not going to see, you're right, 3-for-1, especially a rental. Now, in the Cubs' case, if they were trading one of their hitters, they're all up a year from now, Baez, Schwarber, Bryant. But we know they're not going to trade any of them now. They're having a good season, the team. So you will see some movement, but you're so right. No one's betting the farm on this thing. I do think they're going to finish the season. I think it's good that the rest of the season should be in decent weather. I think that's key before all hell breaks loose in this country when we go inside again. I just have this feeling they will. 28 other teams have done not just well, but very well. And the 29th team, the Marlins, are back up and running. So we're down to one team having a major, major issue. And it is a major one. This thing has gutted that team mentally, physically, the whole nine yards. But 29 other teams are up and running right now, Cap. So I do think we'll finish.
Jesse, the Cubs off to a really good start, and they look like a different team. And I know you love Joe Maddon. You guys did a book together. You have a great relationship with him. Joe's a wonderful, wonderful man. But it just seems like the approach at the plate looks different, more grinding at bats. It just seems like there's a better vibe. Am I right or wrong in that assumption?
It's just a new vibe. And it's so funny, Cap, because it's basically the same thing happened when Joe was named the manager back before 15. It was a new great vibe with a guy that brought certain strengths and whatever, energy and all that stuff, and they won. Here is a new, different vibe with a guy that brings certain strengths and energy, and yes, he's a first-year manager and all that stuff, and they're doing well. It's just that's what happens when you make a change sometimes. The thing I look at is just the sharper stuff they're doing, like the outs on the bases aren't piling up like they have the last 2 years. They're playing better defensively. That's what happens when you bring in a new face, a respected face. And that's what's going on. It should not be that comparison. It really shouldn't be. It was change. It was a time when change was needed, and it turns out David Ross is the right guy at the right time. So that's the way I look at it. And some of the stuff maybe he's bringing out in players Joe had stalled on, right? I mean, players had reached some plateaus, and now David may be saying different things and different messages, and that's bringing out the best in them. So I just think it's different more than better or worse. That's the best way I could say it, Cap.
Do you believe they're good because they played? Look, the Royals just swept the Twins. So we could say the Royals are horrible, and they don't look like they're going to be a postseason team, obviously. But they did just sweep the Twins, who are really, really good. So do you look at that Cubs team and go, boy, if they have good health, they can win the World Series?
I look at to get there. Yes. So the answer is if you can get there, yeah, absolutely. Now that things have played out the way they have, absolutely. There's only a handful of teams that are in that category. Now, do I think they're a favorite? Absolutely not. I still don't think that bullpen's right. We still can't figure out the ninth inning exactly. The rotation probably will, come back down to earth a little bit. They're not a perfect team, Cap, but they're off to a great start, and you can build off of that. And they're a healthy team, which is half the battle this season anyway. Would I take them right now against the Dodgers or Yankees? Probably not, but they wouldn't be a 5-1 underdog, right? They would just be, plus 140 or something in the series, if you want to go betting terms. So they've already established themselves as a good team. Now let's see if they can become a great team over the next 6-7 weeks.
We had this discussion of who is the most under underappreciated, not underrated as much as underappreciated Chicago athlete in the last, we'll call it 20 years. Corey Crawford's name was who Danny brought to the table, and I can't disagree with that. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he did win two Stanley Cups, and this guy's a warrior coming off COVID-19, a period and a half, and boom, let's go, and he wins a playoff series. So my other name that popped in my mind, Pedro Strop.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. It does seem like goalies end up being underappreciated. I thought Antti Niemi, after the first cup, was underappreciated. People weren't believing in him. I'm like, how do you not believe in a guy that just won the cup? Even afterwards, they didn't believe
him. But he's not a great player.
Antti Niemi?
You know, he was very good in that moment.
And I thought I thought for the run he was underappreciated. So anyway, I just feel like goalies tend to see the warts more than you see the bright spots, and certainly the results in both cases show. Pedro Strop certainly would qualify. I mean, there's so many stars in this team, so it's hard to say anybody. Like you might say like Ben Zobrist, but he was appreciated, right? He's not a star in the same way Brian or any of these guys. Strop wasn't a starter. Wasn't a closer, but he was a solid mainstay in the middle of that pen, especially, you know, his peak years there. Obviously, he faltered late there. Maybe he was never the same since he got hurt when he was batting that one time in Washington. But, yeah, I would put him up there, sure. There's so many guys that were beloved on those teams. It's hard to find the underappreciated ones, but Strop qualifies.
Yeah, he would be one. Obviously, Corey probably jumps to the top of the list because, as I said, I don't think Corey Crawford is a Hall of Famer, but he's a damn good hockey player.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the Hawks that probably had a few in the bottom six of their forwards that qualified, you know, is underappreciated. There were so many good ones at the top. That first year that the first championship that I covered, I mean, Andrew Ladd, underappreciated. You know, there were so many stars on these teams that you forget some other players that were really good.
Jesse, as I let you go, I went to see Danny coach his final game of the season for his son Avery. Had a great time going out there. Do you get involved in the Little League baseball world at all?
I used to coach my son, and I mentioned this on Waddle and Sylvie last week, so I got to finish the story. I went out and helped coach your buddy, Seafood Dennis. You know Dennis.
Yeah.
He just turned 50 yesterday. He's getting his business back up and running. He's crossing his fingers because he sells fish. Anyway, Seafood Dennis was coaching his 12-year-old travel team, playoff game, okay? And I'm going to do exactly what I've yelled at people on Twitter. I'm going to blame the umpires. We're up in Vernon Hills, Cap.
Boy.
Listen to this.
You're better
We're
than
up
this.
In Vernon Hills. It's a lesson for umpires. Don't be afraid to end the game on your call. If that's what should happen, end the game on your call. We're up in Vernon Hills, so we're in enemy territory, right? It's a Northbrook team. We are up 3 with 2 outs and 2 strikes in the last inning. We lose in extra innings. 2 outs, 2 strikes, up 3. In the moments after that, a guy stole second, was clearly out. Ump called him safe, didn't want to end the game on his call. Then behind the plate, 2 outs, 2 strikes, clearly a strike 3, doesn't want to end the game on his call. So, boom, there's 2 moments we can't recover from. We lose an extra. So I'm going to do exactly what every Cub fan does. I'm going to blame the umpires.
Well,
they were on the payroll, Cap. They were on the payroll.
Maybe if you had done a better job working the umps, you might have gotten a call.
Waddle said he was going to blame me if they lost, and now you're doing the same. So I get it. I get it.
But and tell Seafood Dennis, few crab legs headed to the umpires before the game might have gotten that call.
It's the best advice you could have given. Up 3 with 2 outs and 2 strikes. That's a killer.
That
your
is.
Season ends that way.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and you'll be back on the prowl covering the Cubbies later today.
Yeah, you got it, pal. Talk to you soon.
All right, see you, pal. That's our guy, Jesse Rogers, our baseball insider. 11 o'clock, we will talk White Sox with our White Sox insider, the great Chuck Garfine. Okay, if you're Simon Cowell, we all know who that is from American Idol. How in the heck are you falling off a bicycle and breaking your back in your own driveway? Really? We'll talk about that and just some of the madness going on. And Chuck Garfine at 11. Be right back.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, this hour is brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross of Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So we wake up to shots fired, ATMs ripped out of buildings, rioting, we can't get into the city. And then I'm looking on the crawl of the other news. It says Simon Cowell broke his back, had 6 hours of surgery. That's just horrific. And as I click on the story then, I look it up. He was on an e-bike, must be like a moped, I guess, something like that. And it was in his driveway at his house in Malibu, and he fell off. And like 6 hours of surgery, he's lucky he's not paralyzed. But they said it was a nasty accident. Like, JR, I mean, Rachel Ray's house burned. Her husband and dog were able to escape. We've got all the looting going on. Simon Cowell falls off his bike. Like, holy smokes. I mean, we got a pandemic going. We got some wild stuff going on, man.
Have you ever been on one of those scooters that are around the city? I haven't seen them much this year. Have you ever tried one of those?
I have not. You're talking about the little, like, skateboard thing with the, or are you talking about like a scooter?
Yeah, like with the handle, like, you know, the two wheels, and they were more around last year. I haven't seen them this year, but I'm terrified I'm going to snap an ankle or just fall completely off of them.
Same here, man. I'm not getting on that. No chance. And now I'm hearing we're going to have more, like, scooter-style things in the city. I don't understand it. I don't know, Simon Cowell. Best of luck. I hope you stay safe and healthy, man. But that sounds horrific.
Look, they seem like a lot of fun, and they're really convenient. And if you don't have wheels, they are definitely a quicker, more efficient way to get around. But they're so quiet, and I'm so afraid that I'm just going to just crash or maybe just run into somebody. That's just, I don't know, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen in my book. I know myself.
A buddy on that I'm very close to owns a coffee shop around here, a breakfast spot. He said, I went the other day to pick up some food for a friend, and he said, hey, man, I'm going to go buy a motorcycle this afternoon. I'm like, why would you do something like that? I've always wanted one. And while I think they look cool and it would be fun to, I would say, have your hair blowing in the breeze, but you'd have a helmet on and I don't have any hair. I've got this, like, feeling that if I did that and I got one, I would fall off and get all messed up. I'm just not going to do it. I just can't. I'm just not going to do it. Like, I think they look cool and all that. I just don't trust all the people that I would be around that would, like, I hear that life or death Illinois spot where the daughter saying her dad was hit by a driver who just never saw him, turned right into him. Just scares the hell out of me. So, yeah, no motorcycles for this guy.
Yeah, my brother rides motorcycles, and I'm very fearful and very cautious when I'm on the road with them. But, man, they can sneak up on you awfully fast.
Awfully fast. By the way, if you hear my dogs barking, I have three dogs. So if you're watching us on Twitch, you're listening on the app, or you're listening in your car on your smart speaker, and all you have to do is say, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, play ESPN 1000 or play ESPN Chicago, you will get us. The dogs know I'm home, and they keep trying to come up the stairs so they can come by the door and get a treat. Those are my guys. I got three of them. Sparky, Yoshi, and Stanley. They're the greatest. They want to know why they can't come in here, so I had to gate off. We have a gate in the house. I took the gate, and I closed off the stairs to come upstairs. So they're literally on the landing, like the first part of the stairs you go up. Landing, turn, and go up the rest of the stairs. They're literally the three of them sitting on the landing barking.
Listen, barking. I'm so cautious that I even take caution around baby gates. Okay, that's something that even I can trip over, along with motorcycles and falling off. So be careful out there, Cap.
People are wanting me to let the dogs come into the office where I'm doing the show here. That's a no shot, because all you'd get is a bunch of barking. Not going to happen. So during the last break, or two breaks ago, I went down there and gave them each, you know what a Kong toy is? It's like this indestructible, except for my dogs, indestructible like rubber toy, and I put peanut butter inside, and it takes them quite a while. You don't hear any barking right now. As soon as they finish off the peanut butter,
pretty quiet.
They're not stupid. They're going to absolutely be ready to rock and roll and start barking again. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're going to talk baseball with Chuck Garfine, who it's so great to have Chuck as part of our staff at ESPN 1000. You catch him on TV every day at NBC Sports Chicago, but he is our White Sox insider. He's wildly connected to the team and is just a really wonderful person as well. So we will figure out what happened to the Sox last night. They dropped 2 of 3 to Cleveland. They lose in extra innings on a safety squeeze.
Did you want to hear that, Cap, by the way? Because that was pretty darn exciting. I like small ball.
Let's go. Play it.
This is the 16th extra innings game this year. DeShields bunting. And the squeeze play works.
Put the ball in play. And the runner at their base just follows. Executed beautifully on the front side by DeShields. On the back side by Ramirez. Beautiful small baseball will equal winning baseball. I love it.
Cap, is there anything better than a good squeeze play?
There may be a few things, but that's pretty good.
That runner takes off from third, and you see it coming a mile away, and he lays it down perfectly. Ah, small ball. I love it.
Yeah, it was outstanding. That was more of a safety squeeze. He waited till the ball was down and then was able to score. Really good play by Grandal to try and get it to the plate. It was just a click late, and the Sox end up losing that game 5-4. And that's a tough loss. You're at home. You're playing a team in your own division that you feel like, hey, man, we're playing pretty good baseball. They had won 6 straight at one point, and now they lose 2 of 3 to the Cleveland Indians, who knows how long they are going to be called the Cleveland Indians, but that's what they are right now. But that's a tough loss. The White Sox have been dealt with a really tough hand of injuries. So Cubs-White Sox is going to have a whole lot more meaning because of the way we are in a 60-game season. I just hope we get to finish the season. 312-332-3776. By the way, memo to Alex Rodriguez. I'm not a huge fan of A-Rod on the air, but his name is Roger Bossard. Roger Bossard. And if you want to sound like you really know what you're talking about, they call him the Sod Father. He's the best grounds crew guy in professional sports. It's not close. He absolutely 100% is amazing. I mean, when the Cubs redid their field, he was one of the consultants they brought in. Roger Bossert, not Roger Bozard. That's just a guy not doing any homework or not having any idea who this guy is when you got football teams, you got baseball teams, you got soccer teams hiring him as a consultant to come in and help them put new fields in. Come on, man. You're better than that. 312-332-3776. Chuck Garfine in exactly 2 minutes.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.